Welcome back to the Protect the Paint. I am Brian McCormick with the one, the only, sensational Patrick.
Oh,
what's going on?
Oh, thanks for the intro, man. You're pretty sensational too, Brian.
I want to gas you up a little bit, man.
Yeah, appreciate that. We all need it as much as we can get these days. So,
love it, brother. Well, let's keep that good energy going here. We had a lot to discuss today as we were talking just now. And then next week is going to be, well, this weekend, I should say, is going to be, you know, the start of free agency. So we'll have plenty to talk about next week as well, too. But Pat, I think we should pick up where we left off last episode. So we talked about Chris Paul. You texted me about 2 hours after the episode ended and say, you know what? I forgot to mention, I think Chris Paul might actually get traded to the Warriors if I had to put money on it. Lo and behold, Chris Paul gets traded to the Warriors for Jordan Poole. I know you have thoughts on it. Just like, what was your initial reaction, I guess, like right after I texted you saying like, you know, wow, great hit.
I mean, I was surprised, right? I mean, I think what I said was Golden State is going to definitely make a trade because we were talking about, you know, teams that were looking to trade and I left out Golden State just altogether. I didn't know specifically it was going to be Chris Paul. So I was surprised by that it was Chris Paul. I thought it might be a different player, but solely for the fact that I don't think a lot of teams see Chris Paul as fitting in on their team, you know, for a multitude of reasons, like not only just basketball playing, but just the dynamic of leadership on the team. You know, so it was surprising to see them to grab Chris Paul, I would say.
Yeah, looking at these details, it was Chris Paul going to Golden State. Washington receives Jordan Poole, a 2030 first round pick. Finally, they get a first round pick and they get a 2027 second round pick. I was just shocked in the beginning. So as soon as I saw the notification, I was making sure it wasn't a fake account. You have all these fake accounts going around right now. Fake woes, fake champs. So I'm like, okay, like this is real. Wow. I had to digest it for a little bit. And I love this trade for Washington. So not only do they get that first round pick, but, you know, they trade away a guy that pretty much was going to be waived or stretched, right? So you get back. I know Jordan Poole had a down year, but you get a young, talented guy who can turn into an all-star possibly. I understand defensively, you know, his deficiencies there. But to swing Chris Paul, I never would have thought Chris Paul would net you a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and Jordan Poole in any sort of lifetime.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, to me, that was the more surprising part of the trade. Like Chris Paul was surprising that he was moving so quickly, but then also the fact that Golden State traded Jordan Poole. They just he was their future, right? They just signed him and Wiggins, who are the younger players on the team, to giant contracts, right? All like Steph, Clay, Draymond are all older now, right? They're probably all 34 and up, and they started rebuilding for the future, right? At the same time, even though they were still winning, they had a good plan. Like their GM, Bob Myers, right? Coincidentally, the guy who his first year drafted Draymond, right? And then he was the GM that brought KD in. He re-signed Clay and Steph, right? And he's been known as like a player-friendly GM, right? I don't know if you remember him crying, you know, when Kevin Durant got hurt, right? He was like crying, the famous clip of him crying over it. I just think it's funny that as soon as he leaves, right, or his contract ran out, but he did, he chose not to re-sign with Golden State, right? Which to me is weird, right? Because is he just not thinking they're going to win anymore? Or is he leaving a winning situation?
Right.
And to see Jordan Poole, one of the players that he signed to this huge contract just a year or two ago, to see him traded makes sense now. You know, this new GM, maybe he left because he knew those hard decisions were coming, right? With Draymond also being a free agent, asking for a ton of money. Maybe he knew he would have to cut off a few of these players he's friends with, and he got out of there, right? Jordan Poole's now he's gone. I agree with you on the Washington side of it. He is a young player, you know, like 2 years ago, he looked like the next coming, you know, and I think he's going to return to that, honestly, in Washington. I think he is. He's going to get all, you know, all the looks. Like Steph took a lot of his looks away, and Klay coming back too. But he's a great player, like you said. You know, Golden State's going to probably try to sign Draymond now. You know, since the, you know, I think you'll probably get into this, so I'll let you talk for a little bit. But yeah, let me hear your thoughts on that. And I guess I do want to talk about the Draymond Jordan Poole dynamic as well.
Yeah, we can definitely get into that. And I figured, you know, you can't ignore that part of it. I mean, it's a great trade if you're looking at it from Jordan Poole's perspective too, because he just needs a fresh, you know, change of scenery, in my opinion. We can get into it soon, but obviously that Draymond punch incident was never going away, no matter what press release any player or personnel or coach released, right? So I'm not shocked that Poole was inevitably traded. The most shocking thing to me is they traded Poole at arguably his lowest stock, right? And that's what I don't understand. So, like, why wouldn't you keep Jordan Poole at least until the trade deadline, get him some more opportunities? You know, he didn't perform well in the playoffs last year, but maybe he goes back to that, you know, fringe all-star status, you know, scoring 21 a game, assisting on six, you know, per game, whatever that was, right? But instead, you trade him at his lowest stock and you essentially just get back a 38-year-old point guard. Now, I know it's Chris Paul. I know he's a Hall of Famer, but he's not 30 years old, right? So that's what, again, I keep going back to it, but Chris Paul was going to be waived. Like, I don't understand how you give up Jordan Poole and a first-round pick in 2030, which, by the way, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond, they're not going to be there in 2030, just for anyone out there who's curious, right? So that could be a valuable pick going forward. So I know it just, you know, spun you in circles there, but yeah, I'm just shocked that they traded Jordan Poole at this part of the offseason and regular season, at least, too.
Yeah, I think it had everything to do with Draymond and Jordan getting into it at the beginning of last season, right? You know, Jordan Poole said some stuff to Draymond that was unforgivable, basically. And you know, they publicly settled it, but they, you know, they can't stand each other. With Draymond being a free agent, I think the team made a decision to keep trying to win right now and not worry about building for the future anymore, right? They knew in order to re-sign Draymond, after probably seeing Draymond hanging out with LeBron every day on social media, you know, they're best friends. I'm sure LeBron's trying to recruit Draymond to Los Angeles, which would make a lot of sense. Once they saw that, I think they're like, oh crap, you know, we need Draymond if we're going to win a championship next year. That's what they're probably thinking, is winning next year. I think they have a real chance to, right? So it was more about, I think it was more about getting rid of Jordan Poole for the Warriors than getting Chris Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, like Draymond was their only capable defender on the entire team last year. I know Andrew Wiggins was out for the majority of the season. When he came back, his legs were not underneath him. So I'm giving him, you know, a little break there. He is a good defender. But aside from that, they have Draymond, and that's it. I mean, you know, Kevon Looney, he's a great rebounder. He's not a great defender one-on-one, right? I mean, Bam Adebayo, for instance, can go by him anytime that he wants to, in my opinion. So I agree with you. I think so. Bill Simmons made a point on his podcast, which I thought was fantastic, and that it seems like the Warriors, they wanted to run this back with the core that they have, and they wanted adults in the room. So for whatever reason, they felt, you know, Jordan Poole was immature. I can't speak to his personality per se. I'm not in the locker room every day there, but we've seen a couple of possessions, crucial possessions in the playoffs last year, where Jordan Poole crosses half court and he's just shooting 30 footers just to shoot them, right? Instead of working the ball. And I think that kind of, you know, irked not only Draymond, but Steph and Klay as well, too. And Steph was really upset with one of their last final clutch shots, where Jordan Poole just chucks up a 27 footer instead of working the ball around with time on the clock left. So,
Yeah, no, all reports are that he's a cocky SOB. Yeah,
yeah.
he's very full of himself. That's what I've heard. Yeah.
I think Washington's a great fit because he's going to have that green light 24/7. And look, he has talent. I'm not trying to talk down about him, but on a championship caliber team, despite them winning with him, you know, 2 years ago, I don't know if he was the right fit going forward if you're trying to run it back with all those guys. I mean, I think you have to keep running Steph until he can't run anymore, at least for the next 2 years. He looks like he's poised for that. But again, if you told me that Washington was going to get more first round picks for a 38-year-old Chris Paul opposed to Kristaps and Beal combined, I would have called you a liar.
Yeah, I just think it was more the situations, right? I mean, I the teams that they traded the other players to don't have a lot of valuable firsts. You know, they probably didn't even want them to a certain extent. Like I said, I think it was more about Golden State getting rid of Jordan Poole, you know, so they Washington might know what they're doing after all. Who knows?
I was really hard on them last podcast episode, so I felt I mean, so rightly bad when so. I saw this trade. I was like, okay, wow, you know, like, this is a good trade. This is what you expect, right?
It's a really good trade. I mean, he's still 23, right? He's a really young player.
I think
he could get even better. Yeah,
You got him. I mean, he's making what, like $30 million a year, but that's probably going to be somewhat friendly in 2 years, right? Like in 2 years, his caliber, you might be paying him 40-45 with the way that the cap keeps going up too. But back to CP3 really quick. How do you think he fits with Golden State? Because my thoughts initially, you know, great passer, which anyone can tell you that watches basketball, right? He can run the offense. I think it's great that he can alleviate the ball usage of Steph too. Steph can play off the ball more. But what I don't understand out of all of this is CP3 has typically throughout his career slowed the game down. Yeah. And that's not the Golden State Warriors brand of basketball.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It's funny because, you know, you see him talking about how he's excited to play with Steph and everything. And, you know, he's talking to the players. But I feel like he might get traded again, believe it or not. Right. I think they're waiting to see what happens with Draymond. Right. If Draymond doesn't re-sign with them, then maybe they keep Chris Paul because then, you know, he could fill in that leadership role. Right. Although I don't think he can. That's a side combo. But that's probably what I'm thinking they're thinking. And if he does resign, I think they have to get rid of Chris Paul because I don't think Draymond and Chris Paul like each other.
To that point, I think Draymond said like 2 years ago on his podcast, the Draymond Green Show, that he did not like Chris Paul whatsoever.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's probably what I remember. I didn't remember exactly what it was from, but thanks for bringing that up. Chris Paul, you know, has never won, right? But he likes to dictate entire teams. You know, he gives inspirational speeches at the timeout. You see him during games, right? And he's like telling players, this is what you need to do. And imagine him doing that to, you know, these four, what are they, five-time champions now?
Yeah, or four-time, right? Yeah.
Four-time. Yeah, maybe I'm foreshadowing for next year, but four-time champions. Chris Paul's going to come in and hasn't won crap his whole career and start telling them what to do. I don't think so.
I think it's a fantastic point. I had that on my list too. Like he's going to a proven team, like, you know, four-time champion team. He has never won a championship. I know they probably have respect for him as a player, as a Hall of Famer, but you would also think there's some sort of line they're teetering where it's like, I'm not sure, like, I want to listen to you fully, right? And how is Chris Paul going to react to that as well too? Is he going to try to fit in there? Or is he going to try to be like a co-leader with Steph? And I don't see that happening whatsoever. You have Draymond already there. You have Steph there. You have vocal guys. Klay talks a lot too. So you might have too many voices in the locker room, if that makes sense. But that was my initial reaction.
It's just, also I don't like see... Klay. Like, is Klay what he used to be, right? Sorry to cut you off, but that's a major question mark to me too. They're looking at everything, clearly. They have a new GM. You know, they're making moves. So,
yeah, Klay's another question mark as far as what you just said. You know, is he going to be the same Klay? Because he has a contract extension, you know, eligible right now. He has next year. I think he's getting paid like $35 million, $40 million, whatever that is. But he's also looking for an extension too, and said that he expects Golden State to give him that due to his loyalty, due to his contributions throughout the last, you know, 11-12 years he's been there. So that's going to be another interesting point too.
I mean, that's part of the Bob Myers situation, right? Like if he was still there, maybe he feels pressure to do that. But now I think that's probably why he left, because Klay, if he keeps playing like he has the past few years, he does not deserve that. Right. He does not. I hate to say it, but he doesn't.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
if he played like he did when a few years ago, they would not have lost to the Lakers. That's for right. Damn sure, right? They would not have gone seven games with the Kings, right? So they needed to do something to get better, and that's what I think they're working. I don't think they're done yet, but that clearly they're working on it.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, you know, in relation to Clay, if Chris Paul doesn't fit there whatsoever and they start out slow again and it's November to December, January, like, do they look to move Clay midseason too? Like, that's a question mark in my mind. If this experiment doesn't work out, do they just say, hey, Chris, hey, Clay, we need someone else, you know, to fill these shoes? But yeah, I just don't see CP3 running and cutting every possession like Steph does. And that's where I think they could really, you know, be liable. So you have Steph, you have Clay, you know, you have Wiggins who can shoot as well. Like, you have a plethora of shooters on that team, but Chris Paul is basically going to be standing at the 3-point line, and he's going to have as many open threes in his career, as many open opportunities as he's ever had on this team if they start him in that lineup or play him within those guys. But I don't see him knocking down 40%, 50% open threes. Like, I just don't for an entire season.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, I think they are not done. I don't think they have any center on the roster right now. They may or may not lose Draymond. They need to get a center or some. Yeah, other,
I guess besides, you know, Looney, if you want to count him as a center. I know he's a little bit smaller. What's he like, 6'9", 6'10", which is kind of small for these days.
Right.
But they also benched him and started him off the bench, like, out of nowhere during the playoffs last year too, which I didn't understand. You know, I know they were playing Sacramento, you know, and then they played. Whether they play the Lakers second round. So
yeah,
I just didn't understand why they benched him out of nowhere too. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. But if you want to pivot to the more exciting trade, as you would have it, I say that sarcastically, Utah makes a trade for John Collins, and they only gave up a second rounder and Rudy Gay, which Rudy Gay in 15 years, I'm still expecting to see his name in trade talks. Like, how long has he played now? It feels like he's been around since 1997.
I didn't know he was still playing. Yeah, I didn't know he was still a thing.
Someone that you forget all the time.
He's not
right?
getting major minutes anymore. Let's just say that.
I think he's going to be traded twice next season at some point too, just to get rid of that contract there. But no, I mean, it's not the most exciting name in the news, right? Rudy Gay, when you have other names flying around right now, including Dame, who we're going to get to in a little bit here. But I actually like what Utah is doing. So they get John Collins, like I said, for nothing. Like, this is just a throwaway, right? Which is funny to me because last season, I think it was maybe October or November, there were some rumors that, you know, the Jazz would probably have to give up Lauri Markkanen for John Collins. Like, I know the Jazz have been high on John Collins for a while now. And then the Jazz, Hawks at some point last year, I think it was October, said that in order for a team to get John Collins, they were looking for a Rudy Gobert-esque type return where, like, you know, the Timberwolves just gave away their whole house.
Oh, man.
Picks, right.
Yeah.
And now you see him go away for Rudy Gay in a second rounder. So I was just cracking up when I saw that notification.
Yeah. So for whatever reason, John Collins has been on the trade block for not only last year, but the last three years, right? It's so long ago, I don't even remember initially the reason why they wanted to get rid of him so bad. But, you know, over time, I guess the demand, the price for him has gone way down. So,
yeah. He was one of those guys that he was on your list every offseason. He's probably going to get traded, right? And now he's removed from that list. So the other guys that come to mind, DeAndre Ayton and Miles Turner, like every year, it feels like they get shocked and then nothing happens. But now, like, Utah has a plethora of picks that they can use to make some interesting moves now. I mean, their front court right now, they're tall. I mean, John Collins is the smallest guy in that front court as far as the starters, and he's, what, 6'9"? So they're going to be lengthy. They're going to have a great defense next year, at least in the paint, in my opinion. Shout out to Protect the Paint. How you like that plug right there, Pat? But I mean, they obviously need a point guard. They probably need a shooting guard too, if they're getting rid of, you know, Jordan Clarkson and whatnot. But I was thinking of them, like, as we're talking about Chris Paul. Like, I know there's so many moving pieces and we still have to see what the Warriors do, but Chris Paul would fit great in Utah. Like, they have cap space to absorb his contract. They can also go after some other free agents out there too. Like, I think Chris Middleton would be an interesting acquisition for them if he wanted to go there too. But they have an exciting future. I mean, when you're talking about, you know, the Hawks and, you know, we're shitting on the Wizards, you know, every episode here, like, Utah is one of those young teams that looks like they're actually building something.
Yeah, no, they're making good moves so far. I don't think they're going to be able to compete for a championship yet, but they're on their way, I guess. To your point about Chris Paul and Middleton, to me, it makes almost more sense to do a sign and trade with Milwaukee for Chris Paul to get Middleton on Golden State at this point. Like, that's one very realistic thing I could see happening. I think he would fit, maybe play that Klay Thompson role that Klay's no longer playing. So I don't know if he, factors into the Utah bit, but it's certainly possible. And yeah, I mean, it's I don't know who, like, point guards that are available. Like, who would you say aside from Chris Paul? Like, if he doesn't, if Chris Paul doesn't go to Utah, right?
Right.
Who else could they possibly get for that?
Yeah, I
I
mean,
mean, they're
looking at free agents, I mean, Fred VanVleet, he
yeah.
can make some big time shots there, and he would also be a great addition there too. So like Chris Paul, like he's not the best defender. He's not the biggest guy. I think they say Fred VanVleet is like 6'1". He looks like he's like 5'10", if I'm being honest here.
Yeah.
But he's a good 3-point shooter. He can run an offense as well too. So I know a lot of guys probably aren't, looking to go to Utah. It's not a huge, like, big destination, like in LA, like in New York, like in Miami, that guys are just like, oh, like, I can't wait to go there, right? But he would fit like a glove there. And like I said, especially with that front court that, they have huge guys there, he would have some protection when people will blow by him too. So, I mean, I know we're going to get into the free agency stuff in a little bit here, but I can't think of a better fit as far as, a winning team, a chance where you can really flourish if, Fred VanVleet doesn't go to Utah. I think that's perfect right there.
Yeah, no, I like that fit. He has playoff experience. He can bring that to the team too. They're missing that. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see them rebuild after losing Gobert and Mitchell. They're like a completely new team now in a few years. So, credit to them.
I'm excited for them, but we'll move on to the next guy I want to talk about too. So I brought him up already. He's on the, I think this guy is going to get traded list that I have every single offseason. DeAndre Ayton. Can we just talk about him for a second? Because the Phoenix Suns have this cycle. And I tweeted about this on, I think it was Tuesday or Monday, whatever it was. But essentially, it seems like 3 times a year at least, the Phoenix Suns shop DeAndre Ayton. They receive little interest or like a sufficient package as far as what their standards are. And then the very next day, they proclaim him to be a franchise cornerstone. And it's like, at what point are you embarrassed? Like, are you too embarrassed to do this shit? Right? Like, I knew it's like there was a report that said they want to keep him, that they want to see how he works with the other big three there, that they value him. And I'm like, well, you can't shop a guy 10 times a year and say that you value him. Like, how does he feel right now? Like, that's what I want to know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if I feel for him, but is he going to ever turn into like what everyone thought he was going to? Like, is he ever going to be like an Embiid type player or like a top center in the league? Like, he hasn't lived up to his expectation that he had, right? He's more of a role player on that team. So the amount of money he makes, he's not getting paid role player money. So I think that's where the trade talk is coming from, right? He's not playing up to his contract, basically, is the situation he's in. And I don't know how that team's going to unfold either. Like, they with Ayton and Durant, Beal, Booker, like their starting five is going to be the best in the NBA, but then who else is on that team? So
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I mean, and speaking of that too, I saw there was apparently a proposed trade from the Dallas Mavericks to the Phoenix Suns. So Dallas was trying to acquire DeAndre Ayton, and in return, Phoenix was going to receive Tim Hardaway Jr., Rashawn Holmes, and JaVale McGee. Off the surface, I don't know if that necessarily makes Phoenix better. However, I think they have to eventually weigh the talent versus depth. Right. And their bench is just awful right now. I'm not sure if they're waiting for a better package or they just actually want to see how Ayton fits with those other big three there. I thought it was interesting. I mean, it's not a horrible trade, in my opinion. It's not going to make me dance if I'm, Matt Ishbia, right? Seeing that in return. But you also at some point have to realize, like, hey, like we can't try to trade number one overall pick, DeAndre Ayton, because he's not that, right? I know he went first overall. He's not playing like that, to your point. He's not an Embiid. I don't even think he's a prime Dwight Howard by any means, right? Like, so at some point, you have to realize what he's worth. And I just think the more you shop him and not get anything in return and make yourself look like assholes, like, the less you're going to get. And I'll be shocked if he's not traded by trade deadline, but they're not going to get very much in return whatsoever.
Yeah, no, it's funny you mentioned Dwight Howard. Like, I think he's a possibility for Phoenix. He's playing in China, right? He's in shape. You know, he's not going to be what he used to be, but last time he played, like, he won a championship, right? Or maybe not the last time he played in the NBA, but he was on the Lakers,
right,
when they won. And he at least was very active, you know, getting offensive rebounds, you know, doing the dirty work. Like, he's very athletic. Like, he could be a cheap player for them to bring in and play up to the par of those players, right? JaVale McGee, I think he was also on that team, funny enough, but he was the backup to Dwight Howard, right? So maybe they get both of them. Then that trade would make sense. If they make that trade and then they sign Dwight Howard, I would like that, actually, for them.
Yeah, I don't think it's a horrible return. Like I said, it's just one of those, like, if you do it, like, that's cool. And if you don't do it, I understand as well, too, right? But yeah, I'm interested to see what happens here. I would not be shocked if he's traded during free agency, because they don't want him. The only reason they paid him was because the Pacers wanted to pay him more, and no one else wanted to do a sign and trade for DeAndre Ayton. So I just keep laughing. It's like the Dame rumors at this point. You just see, like, Dame and DeAndre, to me, the two Ds, I'm just like, whatever at this point. Just let me know when something actually happens. But I can't see them keeping him. Going pivoting to Dame, my favorite player to talk about, not right now. Per reports, Dame and the Blazers discussed their future. It seems as if they're waiting to see how free agency falls, see what dominoes, you know, go which way. And then Dame's just trying to see if Portland is actually going to build a winner. I don't think that's possible. The only interesting rumors that I saw here is that Dame wants to build their own big three in Portland with Jeremy Grant and Draymond Green. I think that'll actually be an interesting roster there. You bring some of, you know, Green's leadership there. You have Scoot Henderson, who would probably come as a sixth man off the bench too. So I'm not sure if they actually win the title, but that's a really deep playoff team, in my opinion, with those pieces that they have.
Yeah, I don't think Draymond's going there. I think Draymond's either going to Golden State or LA at this point. I don't think there's any in between, to be honest. They'd have to trade, right? They'd have to trade some of their young players to build out a team around Dame. I also am kind of hoping for and do believe this era of the big three teams is going away, right? It's not working anymore, right? Look at some of the teams that have won lately, right? They're not the big three teams are not doing. Phoenix, for instance, Brooklyn, right? Not working out. But teams like Denver now look unstoppable. Everyone's talking about them winning, you know, six championships over 10 years now, at least, right? So it's like they're a well-rounded team. They're a deep team. You know, they're a mix of young players and experienced players. That, to me, is a better recipe for winning a championship. So if I'm him, I don't want to be in a situation of a big three of aging superstars that don't like each other, you know, and I'd rather be on a well-built team, you know, like in a good organization. I think that's important too, right? Maybe San Antonio makes sense, to be honest. If there is a trade that happens, maybe San Antonio makes sense, because then I'd be willing to bet if he goes there and puts on a show with Wembanyama, right? I could see LeBron signing the next year in San Antonio
with his son. We'll see what happens with that.
I mean,
I can't wait to see how that falls too. Not to get too ahead in the future, but he's definitely going where his son goes. Like, and it's going to be hilarious to me if it's like Oklahoma City, right, or Portland or something like that. Like, could you imagine LeBron and Dame together? You know, with Bronny James.
I can't wait to see what happens. If LeBron does that, you know, then he just cements his legacy as, not, you know, maybe not the best player of all time, but the best freaking general manager in history, right? He's going to go play with Victor Wembanyama and Dame Lillard when he's 40 years old.
Yeah, the only thing about Dame going to San Antonio, I agree with you, great organization. You're without a doubt playing for the best coach in the NBA, unless you want to include Spoelstra now too. But you probably have to give Wemby like 2 years at least to get to that elite level. Not saying that he's not going to play well. He's going to win Rookie of the Year unless something unforeseen happens here. But you're probably not going to win a championship out of the gate next year.
No, probably not.
So no, I guess that's the only thing that Dame has to weigh, right? But to your point, I mean, I don't think that's the worst move ever, like either, right? Because like, can we just talk about...
It's better than Portland, the situation he's in now at least, right?
So. Yeah, I mean, can we talk about Jeremy Grant? Like him being included in the big three. I mean, he's projected to make a five-year $150 million contract. And I just can't, like, that just makes me shiver. I'm just like, ugh, like it's ugly, right?
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy Grant is not a big three player. No, if we're talking conventional big three formats, that's a stretch, right? So do you think he'll, I don't think he'll get that. That'd be out of control.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going to happen with that. I mean, if Dame says, if you don't resign Jeremy, I'm going to walk, like what happens with that, right? So, I mean, Jeremy Grant's not the worst player in the league by any means, but he had a great year last year with rebounding. He shot 48% as well, too. But I just don't see how that's going to work out as far as the cap there. So we'll see what happens. But
yeah.
Sam Amick reports that Dame prefers to go to Miami if he is traded. What are your thoughts on Dame going there?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a more win now or win immediately situation if somehow they can figure out a trade to get him to Miami. But to me, that's probably where he wants to go, right? But I don't see what kind of trade they could make that Portland would want to do. So.
Yeah, I guess you're going to have to see like if Portland wants to stay loyal to him. If he does win out saying, hey, you gave us all these years, you didn't jump ship until now. We'll take back, you know, Kyle Lowry and other pieces, expiring stuff and some picks, right? Maybe 2028, 2029, whatever. I think Portland will do right by him. I don't think Portland's going to necessarily go after the best deal out there. But yeah, I think ultimately Portland's not going to have enough unless they did sign Draymond out of the blue. I don't see that happening. I think Dame's going to end up in South Beach to play with Jimmy and play with Bam. The only other team that makes sense to me as far as where Dame could go is Brooklyn. But then Brooklyn's, you know, giving up Dinwiddie, expiring contract. That's not a huge loss, but also probably Nick Claxton, right? If not any other young players. And I don't know if Dame on that roster without Claxton there to protect the paint is going to win a championship either. Like I love Mikal Bridges. But I'm not sure if Brooklyn's going to be the best fit for Dame.
Yeah, I don't think Portland makes that trade. Like, I don't think they're looking to get rid of him for nothing, right? I think want a top player back. Like, they probably want Bridges for him, right? I don't think they're going to accept any trade unless they're getting, a replacement for Dame's points and scoring ability. So.
Yeah, and I think that's ultimately going to be an issue for Portland is their return because it's hard to fit Dame's contract in any salary cap right now, right? And that's why you're looking at teams like Brooklyn, like Miami, like they're probably one of like the only three or four teams in the league that can fit his contract easily without involving four, five, six teams in the trade. So I think Portland's not going to get as much back as we might think, as much as we value Dame, just because of that fact. Like you have to fit in 55, 60 million at some point on the books in the next year or two. It's only 2 years left on his contract, so it's not awful. But yeah, I don't see him just being able to fluidly go wherever he wants either. So I think Miami would be a great fit. I would like to see him there. But again, the Dame saga, it's going on and on and on right now. And you're just waiting for someone to crack. But I don't see, similar to Utah as well, I don't see a plethora of free agents wanting to go to Portland either.
No, I think that it's looking more like they might trade to build around Dame. And they're going to be trading their, you know, maybe even Scoot Henderson, who they just drafted to do it, right? That's more likely than Dame getting traded at this point, I think.
And speaking of, I saw a tweet that there was a report that the Blazers reportedly try to trade Scoot Henderson for Paul George. The Clippers supposedly hung up. They didn't want to entertain that, but I like the aggressiveness from Portland right now. If you're trying to build a contender.
See, I mean, that's one way they can get the act real big three, right? If they want to go that route, it's not Draymond and and Jeremy Grant. That's not a big three. Sorry. Paul George, you know, you could consider him part of it. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the path to doing that. Free agency wise, you know, they're not out there. So.
Yeah. The only, if I'm Portland, if I'm the owner, the only hesitancy that I have as far as making a trade like that, like if you trade Scoot for Paul George in this instance, right? Paul George gets hurt. They have another horrible year. Does Dame just out of nowhere say, I'm out. I have 1 year left. I'm getting older. I don't want to try to run this back again. And that's where I think Portland's going to be like, oh, like I'm not sure if I actually want to get rid of Scoot.
Yeah, pressure's going to be on if they start the season without doing anything. Pressure is certainly going to be on, especially if Wembanyama starts playing really well in San Antonio.
I can't wait for that debut, by the way. Like, not to cut you off, but like I'm already putting that on my calendar. Just let me know, right? That's going to be pure theater.
I just feel like, you know, all these aging superstars that haven't won a championship, right? They're all, if he starts living up to the hype, they're all going to be looking to try to play with him.
Absolutely. Yeah. So. Yo.
Hey, sorry, man.
No worries.
We almost made it.
Almost. No, it's good. So we just left off. You just said Wembanyama, you know, in a year or so, people are definitely going to go there. So I'm just going to pick off from that point really quick, and then we'll go to the agency. All right.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. No, I totally agree. So I know I said that Dame would have to give them, you know, a year in San Antonio to kind of help, you know, Wemby grow before they are a title contender. But next summer, like, San Antonio is going to be the destination as far as I'm concerned. Because not only do they have Wemby, who looks like a generational talent, but they have a ton of cap space as well. They have a ton of expiring contracts next year, too. So look out next year. Like, I know Greg Popovich, he's getting up there in age, but he might be coaching the next 5 years with all these stars that are about to come to San Antonio. But yeah, speaking of free, you gonna say something, Pat? Sorry.
No. Great points. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's get into free agency because that is starting this weekend, and I'm really excited for it. So I'm just gonna break down some of the cap rules, Pat, just so our listeners are aware, and then we can get into each free agent where we think we're gonna realistically go, and then their best fits, their dream scenarios for us as well too. But entering free agency, there are only six teams with $30 million plus in cap space. So I was texting my buddy today, and I said, this free agency period might be the ugliest one in a while. Like Timothy Mozgov getting, you know, $80 million type odds, right? Whatever that was. I think it might have been even more like 90. So you have the Rockets. They have $60 million available. The Spurs, who we just talked about, $39 million. Kings, $36 million. Pacers, $32 million. Pistons, $30 million. And Jazz, $30 million as well. So look, I'm not going to downplay these teams. Some of these teams, you know, have a nice future. We talked about the Jazz. The Kings are really exciting too, but you don't have those name brand teams out there like the Lakers, like the Knicks, right? Like that are have a ton of cap space right now. But the second apron is also coming into effect here. So essentially the players union and, you know, the NBAPA, they wanted to make sure that big three teams, such as what Phoenix is doing right now, they wanted to limit the super team potential. So basically each team, I think, has, you know, $162 million in cap, if I'm not mistaken. And then previously you can go all the way up past that and pay the same tax premium. But now as soon as a team reaches about 183, anything after that reaches that second apron. And that's very important because not only is that why you're seeing, you know, expiring contracts going out here, teams are trying to get under that number, you know, that projected number, but that doesn't go into effect until July 2nd. So you're going to see teams prior to Saturday, July 2nd, making trades because you're operating under the previous CBA. Did that make sense, Pat, as far as here?
No, cool. It makes perfect sense. Yeah,
I'm not an expert on that, but I was reading up on it and I thought that was interesting. So
I actually didn't know that. July 2nd date, is that's for sure? Like that's when
everything completely changes. And that's why like Phoenix was trying to move DeAndre Ayton now too, because they're trying to avoid a lot of that second apron stuff. They're gonna probably hit it no matter what because of the that they're paying. I'm just reading a text from my buddy here because I saw this earlier and I was cracking up. Between Ayton and the big three in Phoenix, they're paying $162 million to those four players alone. And I just said the second apron is $183 million. So,
yeah,
like, Jesus, right?
To what? No, you're definitely going to lose to Denver? To lose to Denver in the playoffs? Like,
yeah, I mean, they need Def. They're going to have to. I know we spoke about him too, but like the LeBron effect where he had guys like, you know, late in their careers coming, flocking to him to try to go to the finals. Phoenix has to rely on that right now. And we're going to get into it. Speaking of Phoenix, if we could just mention that here, I don't think he's going to go there. It's rumored that he's going back to the Clippers, but Russell Westbrook would be a perfect fit in Phoenix, even though he struggles shooting, right? He can pass to those three guys and then lob it to Ayton or whoever else they fill there. I mean, what more of a perfect fit would you need if you're Westbrook right now?
I almost hope that, you know, he goes there and then they get the other aging players, maybe throw in Kyrie too, like throw in every single all-star and they just build this, the best team in history. And then it's just a complete disaster. That's what I'm rooting for.
So you're a huge Phoenix Suns fan this season is what I'm listening to.
Right? It's not so much against Phoenix in particular. It's more against the idea of building out these super teams. Like I'm over it. It just doesn't, it makes the whole NBA revolve around what GMs, what owners are willing to pay more, right, than others. What owners actually want to win compared to others that might not care as much about winning, right? That's who's going to pony up and pay these big contracts, right? Like, yeah, they even things out against like the major markets, right, to have small markets be able to afford these players and attract players, and that's happening. They created a whole new problem on top of it, I think, which is even worse, I think. So,
yeah, trying to limit super teams is a great idea unless you have an owner like Matt Ishbia who doesn't care about money whatsoever. Right. Like, right. If I signed with the Phoenix Suns today, I could probably command $40 million and he would write me the check. Whatever, sure, yeah, just raise the tax, I don't care. But going back to the second apron and free agency, just one more point to make here. Teams have a salary cap floor. So meaning they can't just enter the next season with $30 million on the books and just save all that cap. They actually have to pay guys now. So again, they have to fill 90% of their salary cap. And that's a huge aspect here. Like I said, the Rockets have $60 million in cap right now available. They have to spend most of that, right? So going back to Timothy Mozgov, like, you're going to see guys get paid some numbers here, and you're going to do a double take. Now, whether they're 1 year or multi-year, that's another conversation there. But in order to hit that floor, you might see guys who are worth $5 million getting $15 million for 1 year, just so those teams don't get penalized for not hitting that floor.
Interesting. Yeah. No, yeah. That'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Like, I'm really excited to see these, like, nasty contracts.
Kuzma is on that list, I think, you know, so.
I like Kyle Kuzma. He's my 2K guy, man. He was the best NBA 2K teammate that I had.
Gave everyone some 2K tips on the pod too. So, but
there we go.
I'm just saying, I think it's going to be way overpaid, you know, based on your.
No, opinion. I agree. I mean, so look, I'm not calling him overpaid by any means, but let's talk about him first because we brought him up already. But Fred VanVleet, he is looking at probably like 4 years, $140 million. And I know he's a champion. He is a talented player. In any other market, I don't think he's worth that. I really don't. But then again, NBA, they're paying these guys so much bread now, right? So it's not shocking to see that number. But I think Houston makes the most sense as far as what he could find on the open market, aside from Utah, if you're willing to take slightly less there, right? Like, if Utah offers $30 million and Houston offers $35 million per year, you're probably going to Houston. Like, and there's no state tax in Texas either. So that's another huge factor. But just to preface the conversation here, this is not a Houston Rockets stand podcast, right? But I think you can definitely see, you can make a case for almost every free agency guy out there right now to go to Houston because they have the funds, no state tax, and they have to spend money.
I mean, yeah, if you want to talk about Houston, right? I mean, every point you just made leads me to believe that a different player would want to go there. All right, but we can wait on that.
oh boy.
VanVleet, though, he's got a, you know, he's limited to the teams that you mentioned, probably, right, at this point, unless there's some sort of sign and trade that happens.
Right.
But so if you ask me to pick what team of those, you know, to be honest, he might be the top free agent that is really open to moving to any of these teams. Is the way I'm seeing it, right? Other players might be able to dictate a little more in terms of what teams they want to go to. So he might be a better fit in Detroit. Who knows? Like, Detroit needs to fill that cap space. They just hired, gave, I don't know if the coach factors into the cap space, but Monty Williams is now the coach in Detroit, right? And he got, I think, like $75 million or something like that. I can't remember the number, which is ridiculous, but, they, you know, he's a great coach. Don't get me wrong, but who's going to play for him, right? At this point, they need to get somebody to play. Maybe VanVleet is it. Maybe he's the beginning of it. San Antonio, maybe they want to, you know, sign him to a 1 year contract and have him get major minutes and play with the rookie. Maybe he's open to that. You know, and getting more money next year, like, who knows? So
I actually have an under the radar rumor that I'm hearing.
Okay.
No official source here, but I could see it happening. So you just brought up Monty Williams really quick, who wants to go to Detroit. What about Cam Johnson, who played for him
for
a few years?
That's the other one that makes sense there. Yeah.
But again, that bread though, like, 4 years, $100 million is what I'm seeing online, at least. Like,
yeah, and I don't think he's as, you know, good of a player right now as VanVleet is, right? He would. I mean, if they're planning on completely rebuilding, maybe it might be better to go the younger route. But if they're looking to be competitive, then they probably want to go VanVleet.
I mean, that's another thing with VanVleet too. Like, what approach is he going to take? So Houston's not the worst team in the league. I wouldn't blame him, you know, for wanting to go there for the money, but that's the whole point, right? Like, he has his ring already. Does he just want to secure the bag now and get paid? And again, no state tax in Texas. That's going to play a huge factor there. I think he's going to go for the money here. He already has the ring. Like, unless he wants more, you know, jewelry, I think he could go to Utah. I know I brought them up a lot, but I think that gives him a better opportunity to go to the finals in a few years. But I think he's going to go to Houston. And to be honest with you, from what I'm seeing as well, I think Brook Lopez could possibly join him in Houston as well. I don't think Milwaukee's going to pay Brook what he's going to want to make.
Interesting. No, I don't know where Brook Lopez is going to end up to be. I have no idea. Yeah.
He gets better with age. Isn't it nuts? Yeah. He's like 37 now.
I don't know about that. I mean, he gets better playing with the Greek Freak. That's for sure.
I understand that, yeah. But he's always in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. I'm sure, you know, the Greek Freak plays a role in that too. But yeah, the way that he's just resurged his career, though, and just making all these three-pointers, I've always respected that. Like, he just completely changed his game to the modern game. But, yeah, I can see Houston making a play for Van Vliet and Brook Lopez, if not more, too. My last point on Houston, I think they could use a guy like Van Vliet that can run the offense, just because right now they have too many running gunners. Like, it seems like whoever has the ball on the inbound is going to take the shot. It's like it's their turn. They just take turns taking 20, 30 shots a game. To the Jordan Poole, you know, effect, right? They just chuck it up. So yeah. I think they need some leadership there, and sounds I'm excited like to see where he goes.
Everything you're saying about Houston sounds like an ideal fit for Mr. James Harden to return. Honestly,
we're getting that right now.
I mean, we're talking about Houston, you know, right? I don't know.
Blindside me next time, Pat.
I mean, you're making points for it, right? Like you're saying to shoot 20, 30 times a game. They all got green lights. There's no tags in Texas, right? He hasn't won a championship, but maybe he realizes he's not going to at this point. Yep. And maybe he just wants to go back to Houston and, and enjoy himself. Who knows? Put up 30 points a game.
To that point, I don't see James Harden going to Houston. I'm on the opposite end of that, and there's no bias here. I just don't think it really makes sense. Like, if he's trying to win a championship, Houston's not going to be in the finals in the next 2 years, like, unless they get someone insane, right? So if you're trying to win, doesn't make sense to me. I think he had some reports go out there that he was going to the Rockets, that he was going to make the return, only to have some more leverage over the Sixers. And it's going to be telling to see what he does with his player option too, because he's owed, I think, $36 million. If he turns that down, is he going to get $30 million each year from the Rockets?
He hasn't officially done that yet?
Not officially, to my knowledge. I could be completely wrong in that. I think he has until Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. Again, could be completely wrong there. But if he turns down $36 million, like, he must be confident that the Sixers are going to give him like $30 million a year for like 2 or 3 years. But I don't see Houston spending money on him like that. I really don't. Unless it was like a 2-year contract, I don't think it's one of those things where he goes back to Houston on 4 years, 100 plus million. Like, I really don't think it's going to happen there. If he goes there, like, fine by me. Like, the offense is great. Like, he runs the offense very well. He can, one of the best passers in the league too, but I'm not going to really miss him if he goes to Houston. The worst part of it is with the way that Morey spent with the cap, you know, last year, and how they acquired James and they used the player exceptions, is that if Harden walks, the Sixers only save $8 million. So it's not the biggest savings of all time either. That's my thing. If the Sixers were able to sign three other players instead of Harden using the $36 million that he's leaving on the table, I would say fine, like, sign me up. But it's not the case. The Sixers are kind of handcuffed here.
Yeah. I mean, you probably believe in the Sixers, right? Do you think they have a real chance of winning in the next 2 years?
I mean, I think they're definitely closer than most teams in the league. They have to get faster, though. We said that on, I think, the first pod that we did together. So if you're doubling down on being slow, like, James Harden slows the pace even more than Chris Paul, which, you know, is saying something there. They have to get more pieces, and it's not going to happen
with James Harden in the next year.
I think they can win with James Harden, but they have to get rid of Tobias Harris. Like, all jokes aside, like, you need to allocate Tobias's $40 million across 2 or 3 effective players to have a shot. And I don't see that happening until they do so.
Yeah. I mean, Embiid, you know, he's a great player, right? Can he handle it all? Can he carry the team to winning? With Harden, maybe, right? Harden, like, they could have beat Boston, right? They blew that game. Like, I was disappointed, you know, when Philly lost that game, and then game 7. That was game 6, I think, when they blew, had control of the game and completely blew it. And to me, that's the same old Harden. And I don't. I guess it'd be interesting to see who they trade Tobias Harris for. Maybe that'll improve the team. That'd be cool to see. So
where I disagree with most of the public, so like a lot of people get on Embiid. I know he has shortcomings in the playoffs. His stats do not reflect what he does in the regular season. I'm not denying that, but I sent this question to my Sixers fans, you know, my buddies, and I said, okay, like if Embiid gets doubled, they have maybe one guy on their team that can shoot or dribble by someone on any possession, right? Who is it?
That's not James Harden, right?
It's Tyrese Maxey, right? Yeah. That's yeah. it. On the entire team. Like, I'm not saying the starting lineup. I'm saying on the entire team.
Right. And no, I hear
is,
you. Yeah.
That is the main issue with the Sixers, in my opinion, is that if Embiid gets doubled and Maxey's not on the floor, all the defense has to do is close out. Yeah. Because no one's blowing by them. And then when the Sixers offensive player doesn't blow by them, they reset the offense back to Embiid, doubled again. And it's not going to change unless they become a faster team.
Man, is this still like part of the process or is that over at this point? Like, are we still trusting the process?
I think the process, the main purpose of the process was to make them into a championship contender. I know a second round exit every year, it does not necessarily fit that definition, but if we're getting into the process, I still fully support what they did. And some people laugh at me for that, but I'll never change my position on that. And I say that just because the Sixers openly said, we don't want to compete in order to have a shot to go deep into the playoffs. It hasn't happened, but I admire that more than what teams used to do, at least, you know, 2015 to 2018, whatever it is, where you signed an old power forward and you get the A seed. Like, what the Chicago Bulls are doing right now, like you're probably going to resign Vucevic. Why? You're not going anywhere with this roster. So instead of trying to say that you're competing and then signing these old guys that you're not going to take you anywhere, I'd rather be in the process where like the owner's honest saying, hey, like put up with this for 3 years and we'll be okay. So that's my stance on it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see how they change the team. You know, they definitely need more shooters. I think they need more big men to bang around in the paint when Embiid is out. And maybe they can do that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they do. Like I said, I think Tobias Harris does get traded at some point. I don't know if it's going to be next week or the week after or even in the season. But we'll see what happens with that. But we'll move on because I'll get really passionate about that conversation, as we know. But, yeah, I mean, Harden, I would not be shocked if he does choose Houston, but I would not understand why he would in that scenario.
Just for the reasons I gave, right? It would be personal reasons. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
It wouldn't be basketball related. It would be him saying, I'm just going to enjoy the rest of my career. I'm going to shoot 40 times a game, average 30, pad my stats, maybe make the 8 seed, like you said. just live it up in his old hometown, right, of Houston, Texas. So.
Wouldn't blame him either. So let's bring up the next guy, Chris Middleton. So we brought him up, I think, on the past few podcasts because he is a big name. He, you know, was not healthy last year. He looked like a shell of himself last year at you know, certain parts of the season there. But big time player, I think, when he is healthy and if he can get healthy again. My gut tells me that he resigns with Milwaukee. I don't think you decline your player option of $40 million unless you know you're getting some guaranteed money, you know, a bigger contract from them. Unless the agent trusts some team out there, like we brought them up many times, but like say Houston says, hey, we're gonna give Chris, you know, 3 years, $100 million if he declines that, like, do you trust that as his agent? I don't know. So I'm no expert. I can't read between every single line here, but from what I'm seeing, it sounds and it smells like he's gonna re-sign with the Bucks.
Yeah, it could be that, or it could be a sign and trade situation. So I think you're right. He's going to sign one way or the other, but he could, you know, be part of a trade if Milwaukee wants to change it up. Because like you said, he has not meshed well with Drew Holiday. I think is when he really started going down is when Drew joined the team. So maybe it's just he's not meshing well with him.
Yeah, I mean, I think aside from their championship run with both of those guys, it just doesn't seem like they're all on the same page watching this game. So Some Bucks fans might attack us for that, but I don't think their offense is as fluid as it could be with those two guys. It seems like sometimes either one of those guys tries to take over the game if Giannis is having a bad game, right? And it just doesn't work out like that sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
My guy, Kyle Kuzma, my favorite NBA 2K player. Just really quick on him. I think the perfect fit would be the Sacramento Kings. I really do.
I like that.
They're like probably going to get rid of Harrison Barnes. I don't see them resigning him. So you can have an upgrade with Kyle Kuzma. He's not the defender that Barnes is, but like offensively, he's light years better than what Harrison Barnes is right now. Barnes struggled to even score 10 points in a playoff game last postseason during some stretches there. So I think Kuzma would be a great fit. He can run. That offense is young. They're probably the fastest team in the league right now. Their offensive rating is also absurd too. So Kuzma would fit like a glove there. I really don't see a lot of other teams that will probably throw $30 million at him per year.
Yeah. You know, unless it's one of the team left hanging and he's still out there. Right. And they need to spend their cap space. Like you said.
Yep.
Maybe.
Going back to, you brought up the Nuggets already. They have a huge free agent, potential loss here in Bruce Brown. So I'm eager to see where he goes. I think he's going to command about $15 to $20 million per year, depending on how desperate a team could be. And yeah. Denver can only offer him, I think, $7.5 million a year on his next contract. So I don't see him going back to Denver unless he absolutely loves playing with Jokic and being in that city.
Yeah. I mean, how did they find him, right? Like just that team, like it looks like every player is perfectly fit. Like he, was very responsible for them winning that championship. I think they want to re-sign him, but I don't know if they're going to offer as much as one of these other teams that need to spend money is going to offer
right.
him. Right. So
yeah, going to that point too, Pat. You don't know how they got Bruce Brown. He was actually quoted saying, if I'm not mistaken, he only had like two contract offers, I believe. His market was really cold last summer. So the fact that they got him for what, $6 million, just what a gem that you found right there. And you're just wondering how 29 other teams didn't offer him more just to get him there. So still crazy.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go back to the best coach conversation you mentioned for half a second, maybe it's the Denver coach.
Yeah, it could be him or it could be the GM that saw it. It's a good point. But I want to see, I'm curious to see if they repeat next year because they're going to have, despite Bruce Brown leaving, they'll have most of their players back too. And a lot of those guys are in their prime, which is the scary part. So I don't see anyone easily dethroning them next year. Quick point on your Warriors, because you see the Warriors going deep next year. They are plus 1200 on FanDuel right now to win, by the way. So that's crazy value. I think
whenever they're done making whatever moves they plan to make, right, that's probably going to go down. So
I think if Draymond officially comes back, you'll probably see them at like +700, +800 easily. So just in case anyone out there, expects that, you can get on that early. Two more guys, man. So let's bring up your favorite player in the league, Kyrie Irving.
I mean, at basketball wise, he might be shit.
It's going to be with him. So it goes without saying that the market is not heating up for him. Like there's not 29 other teams lining up to give him a max contract. Like that goes, that's obvious.
Yeah.
There's no shock there. But all signs point to him going back to Dallas. He was actually reported to request to wear number 11 tomorrow. He was reported to wear number 11 on his jersey next season for Dallas. So Tim Hardaway Jr. currently wears that number. Kyrie wants it. So I'm not sure why you would go through the holes of requesting a jersey number with a team if you don't plan on resigning.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to commit to Dallas long-term at this point, to be honest, right? I think they really have screwed up the past few years. The Luka, great player, right? But is he really capable of bringing them to compete every single year deep in the playoffs? Like, I don't know that from him yet. Maybe he signs a 1-year deal, I don't know, but they really messed up by not signing Brunson is what's sticking out in my mind. Right.
Did you see what
they should have Brunson instead of Kyrie, really?
Not to interrupt you, but did you see what they could have offered Brunson, but did not? Yeah, make?
I know what they could have. Yeah, of course.
It goes 4 years, $48 million. They could have offered him, and Brunson never received such offer.
Could you imagine if he was in that contract, though? Could you imagine? And he started, you know, I guess he would never have like shown he was capable of producing like he had on has on the Knicks, because Luka would dominate the possessions and the ball there. Yep. Yeah, but that's what I mean about Luka. It's a great example, right? He. Not really helping the players on his team be better so far, right? He's helping himself be better, you know, but
he's young, right? So, I mean, to that point, they have to get the right pieces around him. I don't think the roster is set up for him to really win right now. But he also has to take his health serious too. So I know he probably wants to enjoy as much food as he can. It looks like he actually lost about 9 or 10 pounds this offseason so far, if the pictures are correct, if this isn't, you know, some sort of joke. So it looks like he's finally taking his body seriously. And I think that's the next piece for him, is he can't look gassed on defense. I mean, he takes so many possessions off on defense in order to catapult his offensive game. And he's got to start playing both ends. So I'm waiting to see if that happens, or if he's going to keep messing around for the next 3-4 years before taking it seriously, saying, hey, I'm 28, 29 years old, and I need to win in the postseason.
Yeah. He's enjoying putting up, you know, 30, 40 points too easily right now.
Absolutely. You know, so I think Kyrie signs there. I think Dallas gives him a 3-year deal. If I had to put money on it. And if you're Kyrie, you probably have to take that given your track record right now, right? Because I'm not sure any other team out there right now will give him 3 years fully guaranteed, if that's what the Mavs do.
I mean, I've heard rumors of him like wanting to play with LeBron again, right? Have you heard that?
I have. It's just he's similar to, you know, Chris Paul, similar to, you know, other guys out there, the top guys. Who am I thinking of? We just spoke about him too. I'm blanking out right now. Dame. Yeah. He's similar to Dame in that his cap number is going to be huge. Yeah. Right. So
maybe he takes a pay cut.
That's what I think he'll need to do if he actually wants to go to the Lakers. They'll probably have to facilitate a sign and trade with the Mavs. But I've seen reports saying the Mavs would not help in that scenario at all. So, and I love that Cuban's like, hey, I went out and I got you. We value you here. We treat you good. Like, Cuban is arguably one of the best NBA owners out there. If you want to go to the Lakers, fine, but you guys got to figure that out.
But
on
does
your
he
own.
Really think like he plays well with Luka, like Kyrie and Luka together?
Yeah, I don't think it's a match made in heaven. I don't think, I mean, it seems like they get along, at least, you know, from what we saw last season. But
yeah,
I'd rather see Luka play with another star out there, maybe like a big man, right? Just for instance, if you saw like, you know, Luka and Embiid out there, that's a better duo, right? But those guys aren't out there right now. So I think Dallas, with what they gave up to get Kyrie, they kind of have to re-sign him, or else you lose those assets, you lose Kyrie, and you're kind of like, what the hell did we just do? But I wouldn't be shocked if they trade Kyrie in like a year or two as well. So that's going to be a fluid situation there.
Maybe that's what they're thinking, you know, re-sign him, increase his value when he starts playing really well again, trade him. That could be it.
Yeah, exactly. So last guy I want to bring up, Pat, Austin Reeves, who is an interesting player to me. He really had a great year last year. He played well in the playoffs in many of those games too. Some big shots and big moments that he knocked down. I'm seeing that he could be valued at around 4 years, $90 million or $100 million in that range. And by all accounts that I'm seeing, the Lakers are going to match that. So Utah is interesting to me because they have the funds to offer that to him if they want to bring him there. But I'm just wondering if like Sacramento is going to come in and kind of force the Lakers' hand and give Austin Reeves like $120 million and see if the Lakers match, kind of thing, like similar to what the Pacers did with Ayton. Yo.
Hey man, sorry, cut out again. I think I figured it out though. It might be like seems like when I have the charger plugged in, it seems
Not
to.
really.
Yeah,
Interesting.
I'll keep it out.
No worries. I think that's all we had. I'm just gonna end the episode real quick, Pat, because I gotta get going. But we got through everything, so I'm happy with that.
You got Austin Reeves.
Didn't get Austin Reaves, but we could leave him out real quick.
Yeah, I think LeBron, you know, the GM of LA wants him, LeBron, so.
Yeah, me too. So, but yeah, I
I
was
just
gonna
saw
say,
DiVincenzo just opted out of his player option. So,
yeah, which is interesting. I don't think he definitely was gonna go back to Golden State on that contract, and that's gonna be a huge loss for them too. So, interesting stuff. But I'm gonna just count down 3, 2, 1, say everyone thanks for listening, and then you know we'll have probably an
okay.
episode during free agency. That's good with you. So,
Good with me, man.
3, 2, 1. And that's all that we have for today, guys. We're going to dig into free agency once that starts. Keep a lookout on Saturday because that's when we're going to see a lot of these last-minute trades happen before that second apron goes into effect. But, Pat, I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for hopping on here, and we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, everyone.
All right, brother.
See ya.